Love it. Another show coming up on the Suspendables. Hi, everyone. I'm Jungle Jim. On today's program, all of you asked for more stories from Russ about John Brophy. We got a couple zingers. And athletes who are really good outside of hockey. Incredible talent that Gary Lehman has. I never knew. Russ gives us all the insight on that. Mark Crawford got suspended for stuff that he said to players. He was in anger management and all this stuff. We get a little more insight about Crawford and Russ's experience. Particularly, Jeff Courtnell took Crawford down one time when he was behind the bench. Hilarious. Another thing we talked to Russ about, what was it like to transition? Great question from our good listeners. To transition into everyday life from being so famous as a hockey player. He talks about that. Totally interesting. And his wife, Paris, what was it like for her when he was a hockey player? Well, guess who she hung out with, okay? The Rat Pack. She's seen fame before. All that and a lot more, including some beautiful stories about Russ when he was in Vancouver about helping kids out at Christmas time. I'm not crying. You're crying. That and much, much more coming up in the Suspendables. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. There it is. Merry Christmas. Hi again, everybody. Jungle Jim coming at you with Russ Courtnell. And yet another episode of The Suspendables. Thanks a lot to everyone for tuning in. How are you doing, Russ?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. By the way, before we launch in, Russ, this is always something we wanted to do. Talk about a sponsor that we have for the next little while.
Oh!
Yeah. My buddy Drew Schammelhorn here in Edmonton has a huge marketing and promotional company called Elite Promotional and Marketing.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. They're going to start a web store for us. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Here's the deal. Of course, they're helping me out with the shirt. Thank God they bailed me out with all those T-shirts.
Fucking knucklehead.
Yeah, but they've sent out a couple of things to show me what's going out. They've done them, and they're ready to ship them. Everyone will get them by January.
Yeah, all you people send in that $35 to Jim. He's going to try and double your money this weekend.
Yeah.
So he'll only lose. If he wins the bet, then he only loses about $5 or $10 per order.
That's right.
But if he loses the bet, he's down $80 per.
Yeah. Listen, if losing $5, $10, or $20 was on the table right now, I'd take it. Okay. Yeah. Right now, I got to go after everyone for more money. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Don't worry about your money safe with Jim.
So what you want to watch for is
handcuffs.
At web store launch. Come on, I'm trying to read the spot.
All right. Okay. Read away.
We're going to launch a web store coming up in January where you can order your latest, greatest merchant swag from T-shirts, hoodies. Everyone wants a hoodie. Travel mugs, sports bags, and more. Tons more. And we're going to launch that next month. So check out Elite Promotional and Marketing, okay? Or go to elitepromomarketing.com and you can see everything they have. Great, you know, it's Christmas, Rusty. Great gift idea. I used to, my favorite, Russ, at Christmas, as you're into your White Claw, I got to go with the rum and eggnog.
Oh, that was your favorite?
That was my favorite, yeah.
My dad turned me off those when I was 9. I'll tell you, so I always, all the parents would talk about these rum and eggnogs, and I just thought it sounded so great. And I go, Dad, can I have one of those rum? He goes, okay, sure. I don't know if he did it on purpose or if that was the pour, but it was so strong, so much rum. I took one sip and almost puked. I never had a rum and eggnog after that. I had one and done.
Yeah, one and done. Yeah, guys used to say to me, they're going, hey, Jimmy, you're really holding to that tradition of rum and eggnog, eh? It's July, pal, okay? All right? This is sort of a December thing, Jimmy.
Yeah. I heard at your Christmas parties you used to throw an apple in there and pretend it was like Halloween and you'd be bobbing for apples in the eggnog, the punch bowl.
You gave me a great idea. Yeah, bobbing for rum and eggnog. That'd be fantastic. Yeah. My deal. I started young like you did, too, at having drinks at 9 years old.
Oh, except I had one and done.
You're one and done, I know, but...
Yeah, yeah, easy. Don't compare me to you as I drink my White Claw.
Me and my buddy... Yeah, you have some White Claw. Me and my buddy stealing homemade wine from his father when we were, I guess, 13 or 14. And we lived on the lake, and we our folks said, yeah, that's fine. You can go out and sleep on that island out in front of our houses, you know? And we said, great, and we rolled up like a gallon jug of this homemade wine and some beers and stuff. And then we got out to this island, and we'd never drank before. We stood toe-to-toe drinking out of this jug of shitty homemade wine, okay? And, of course, we're, you know, like kids do the first time they get dry. I'm not feeling anything. Give me another sip of that. You know, I'm not feeling anything. To make a long story short, Russ, I'm screaming. There was a chick who lived on the lake that we really liked. You know, she was really hot, a little older than us. And Elaine was her name. And I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, you know, at midnight. Hey, Elaine, get over here and show me your big boobs.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, not remembering, Russ, or forgetting that water, or a sound carries a little bit over the water, okay? And my mom and dad were sitting out there on the deck, entertained for a while, and that ended with us both puking into our sleeping bags.
Oh, so, gross.
Yeah, that was the end of mine, but you're off. This is our Christmas show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing a little Christmas show, and you're off to Minnie. Tell me your week now. I get more requests from people, Russ. And emails from people and messages from people going, I love Russ's life. I said, yeah. So where are we off to this week, Rusty boy?
We are going to Minneapolis. It's the only place that we could all be together for Christmas. So we did it last year, rent a house, and we're all so fired up to be together. But also, we get to see Monday night game, Vikings, Packers, Monday Night Football, so we're all fired up for that. So it's going to be great. It's a beautiful new stadium. And
right.
You show up in a snowsuit. You walk there in a snowsuit, and then you go to the wives' room, and you go up to your seats in jeans and a T-shirt. It's just magic.
It's the only way to fly.
Yeah. Yep, and then we're back here on the 27th, right after Christmas, and no plans after that.
Yep. Allie, Courtney, your daughter, of course, dates I keep calling him Hendrick, but it's Kendricks.
Yeah, Kendricks, yeah. Eric. Number 54, got snubbed at the Pro Bowl. Everybody's upset about that.
Yeah, he had a pretty good game, though, last game.
Oh, my God, he's freaking unreal. They're calling it one of the top two snubs of this year's Pro Bowl. So.
Oh.
Yeah. It just, that kind of stuff just motivates him, I think. He just, you know, he goes, you know what? Fuck everybody. I'm just going to work harder and be better.
Good for him.
Yeah.
The snub probably came from, oh, yeah, you're kind of related to Russ Courtney. Yeah, you can't go. Yeah, that's
yeah,
yeah. Let's see. So you got a nice party going. I'm going to be end up at a couple of parties, but I always, every time Christmas rolls around, Rusty, I don't know if you have any stories, but I certainly do. About there's always the Christmas dinner guy who shows up. You know, we always as a family said, look, we never want anyone to be alone for Christmas. Okay,
so yeah.
If you know a guy. And I did. I knew a friend of mine who was by himself. His parents lived too far away. Couldn't get back. A bit of a loose cannon, right? This guy. And I was about to warn everyone. And I said, no, don't worry about it. Just let's see what happens. And the guy shows up completely annihilated, okay, at the door, which is fine. Everyone's into the cups. But his opener, Russ, was, so this is my ex-wife's place we're at. And her mom and dad are there. And the doorbell rings and my mother-in-law answers the door, and I hear this guy belt out, you know, Donna is her name, my ex-mother-in-law, and all I hear him do is belt out. He goes, "Oh my God, Donna, are you ever hot?"
Oh no!
Everyone just freaking their heads. No. Oh my God, Jimmy never told me he's got a blazing hot mother-in-law.
Oh.
I was like, oh. Hutch, shut up, dude. Shut up. Anyway.
That's funny.
Yeah, people drunk at parties. Anyway, when I think of cool Christmas stuff, I saw a clip the other day. Grant Fuhr, of course, who was a prolific goaltender in the NHL and certainly with the Edmonton Oilers. And they did a movie on him, Making Coco was the name of that movie. And that was his nickname.
Coco.
That they wanted to call him. And they made a movie about him. It's a friend of mine, Shane Fennessy, who's the son of Kevin Lowe, has produced this thing. So he's on Facebook a lot. You know, they're promoting this film. And then they showed, I filed this under the label, Russ. I'm not crying, you're crying. When Russ, there've been so many great examples of what hockey players and athletes do for kids, you know, at Christmas time, mm-hmm. who a lot of their wishes always is, I'd like to meet my guy, you know, I'd like to meet my fan. Or, and they had a clip, there was a lady who's in a senior's home who's been a massive fan of Grant Fuhr. Uh-huh. She would be into her 80s, you know, and that's all she ever speaks about, apparently, is Grant Fuhr. And, of course, he got wind of that, and he showed up there at their little reception.
Oh,
and
my God.
He shows up by surprise, and he sneaks into the room, and he's standing behind the couch, and this lady's talking, and then turns around and sees Grant there, right? And just, well, it was almost an emergency. She almost died, you know. This went a little too far.
Great surprise. Right? Ah!
Yeah, she's grabbing her heart and everything. And anyway, I'm getting to be a softie as I get older. And
I've always been emotional. I mean, that's such a great story, and you're right. So many guys do so many nice things. And
well, you must have seen guys do stuff for kids or show up.
Oh,
in the rink,
well,
or,
you know, it was beautiful. I think Chris Nyland in Montreal started it, going into sick kids at Christmas with presents. So he went to the toy stores and said, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to ask my teammates if they'll come with me. And so he started this, and then there'd be a company that would donate all the toys, and we would walk through Montreal of the sick kids mm-hmm. before Christmas with all these gifts, and walk into each room and give kids, and we'd have a nurse with us.
Perfect.
And she would explain to us what was going on with the patient. So we weren't, hey, how you doing? You know, when you walk in, we had some knowledge of where the kid was from, how old they were, what they've been through. And then their parents usually knew we were coming. So the parents usually were there if they could be. And then Cam Neely, he's done some amazing things in Boston, built, places for apartments for parents to stay for kids who are in, cancer wards. And
no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, we can go on and on, but there's so many great examples of guys, and usually it's something that happened to them as a child that, you know, that wanted them to do something for someone else. So,
you know, my father always said, you know, if you want to minimize your problems, go do something like that. You know, go to the sick kids hospital and walk through
God.
There, you know. And
yeah, it's brutal.
I'll tell you, you're underselling yourself, because when you spent your time in Vancouver, when Mess got traded there after your time, he took over a charity that you guys did. And I think it was called Canuck House at the time.
Canuck Place.
Or Canuck Place. And I went out there, and this place, of course, houses, it's kind of like Ronald McDonald House. So there's kids who are terminally ill, right? And then there's another floor for the patients or the parents and families. And I remember walking in there, and just like you said, they give you a little heads up about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But all of it was bad. All of it are terribly, terribly sad stories.
Yeah.
And I remember lasting about 5 minutes before I said, I got to get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, it gives the parents and the child a beautiful place to go and spend that last week or together. And it's an incredible home. It was a mansion that went to the city. The city donated it to the charity, and then they turn it. You can't tell that it's a hospital, but it's a full-blown hospital. Inside the walls is all the infrastructure of a regular hospital, and so it's an incredible place, and every Canuck that ever plays in Vancouver goes through that house, and they raise money every year, and they just honored anyways, they honored a player, and first thing he did was he went to Canuck Place, and gave jerseys to the kids and signed autographs, took pictures. Alex, the French Canadian kid,
Don't know. Yeah.
Should know, but.
So I guess
number
today.
Number 14. You know, I know he wore number 14.
Someone will know it.
It's Burroughs.
Ah, thank you, Alex Burroughs.
There we go. We got our editor there, Stevie, researching.
Attaboy, Steve. Steve's into the eggnog right now, ladies and gentlemen. He's got how many people coming over tonight, Steve?
About 20.
Oh, yeah, I guess you don't have a lot of friends. Put a sign out, free eggnog. Maybe you'll get it up to 30 or 40.
Yeah. or if you don't want, if you don't want them coming after that or the following year, you know, if this is supposed to be an annual thing, is just make food for 9. And then, I guess what we could say is, thinking of all these people and all those stories at Christmas time, and if you're out booting around, I mean, grab your kids and go drop by a hospital somewhere. If you're so inclined, and that'll be great to do. Your president got impeached, Russ.
Yeah.
What do you think? We don't talk politics.
We don't talk politics, right? Yeah, well, we're not supposed to talk about it, but I don't agree with it. So there, everybody knows where I stand.
Oh, wow. There you go.
But it's not good for anybody. It's not good for the country. It's not good for the president.
Robert De Niro. The only reason I bring it up is everyone's weighing in on it.
Oh, my God.
And Robert De Niro, who I had to laugh, obviously hates Donald Trump.
Oh, God. That's not a strong enough word.
Yeah. And this is a guy who hardly granted interviews, ever. Iconic actor. And then today he said, because he said, F him a while ago. That was his big deal. And today he said, I hope someone throws a bag of shit into his face.
Oh, my God.
Take it easy, Bobby. Slow down, man.
Taking it. They must have dated the same model at some point. And Donald must have won or over, because it's beyond craziness.
We'll have to watch for that. So this is about the time, Rusty, in the hockey season by the way, we're sports. Apparently we're filed under the comedy section of some of these podcasts. So I got to straighten that out, Rusty. Or maybe that's just because we're extraordinarily funny. It's the time of year where they start to predict, who's going to win the Stanley Cup, Rookie of the Year, and stuff like that. So,
well, nobody picked St. Louis at this time of the year last year, and they went on to win. They weren't even going to make the playoffs. Remember?
Well,
January 3rd, they were the worst team in the league.
Yeah, incredible story. So what do you think, Russ? Do you have any idea when you – I see your Canucks, of course, are playing great. Vegas and Phoenix, these teams.
Oh, my God, it's so good. I text Rick Tockett the other day I said, I hope he plays really well for you. And he was saying they really just need scoring. So obviously they made the move, and I hope it works out. I always hope the trades work out for both teams, because I've been there, and when you get traded, you want to go and play well. And you're obviously, usually you're not doing well wherever you are, and a new start. But this one's a little different because Hall's got the big contract. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, so obviously they didn't want to sign him, he didn't want to sign for what they offered him. But a little different,
right?
But that, sure, if he plays to his ability, that sure is great for them.
Yeah, they sort of did it unpredictably, Russ, in the middle of the year, right? And in December, where they traded this guy, which, because he's going to be an unrestricted. Kind of smart idea, Russ, for Phoenix to do that now. And
yeah, I think it's a great time, because it gives them a long time to get a fit for him, find out lines, and then it also gives the team a time to figure out if they can freaking sign him. Because, 2 months, you trade for somebody at the deadline and you only have a couple months, boom, the season's over, it's tough. So I think it's smart. I think it's smart on both sides. I think the longer the Devils waited, the less they would have got. So I think it was good on both sides.
Who do you like, Russ? You talked about it for a second there. Your early picks for the Stanley Cup. Who should we be watching for?
Well, I mean, today you gotta love Boston Bruins. I mean, they're just phenomenal. But I think Phoenix has played really well, and I'd say they're the team that might be the sleeper. Although they're up there in the standings, but I don't know if anyone thought they were going to be as right. good as they are right now. But I always say this, and if you're in the top 16 that make it to the playoffs now in the NHL, every freaking team has a chance. Back in the 80s and 90s, I mean, only the top two or top four, and everything else was just there might be an upset, but. There really wasn't an upset in who was in the finals.
I was looking at it this morning, and as quickly as you say Boston, they lost this week. As we record this, it was Thursday, to the Islanders, who now
have There's another team.
23 wins or something.
Yeah, Islanders are freaking awesome and very well coached. Very well coached. How about Calgary after getting rid of that coach in this – And the new coach, Ward, has just done an obviously the players didn't like the coach. I mean, right. they fucking went, how many? 9-0 right after they let him go?
Right.
I mean, I guess they might have been coming along but geez, that sure is a sign of they got rid of the right guy. Just looking at from the outside in.
Right. Tell me this, Russ, in hockey. You see it all the time. Coaches getting fired. Unfortunately, this year it's been for different reasons than you had hoped.
Well, now they have to say it's for hockey or not.
Yeah, that's right.
Before it was just, we let go so and so, and we're going in a different direction. Boom. Yeah. End of story. Now it's like, why did you fire him?
Right.
Why exactly?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He yelled at his kid about doing his homework, so we had to get rid of him. The Peters firing in Calgary, of course, nobody disagreed with it for what he had said. But there were a couple other ones. Crawford's name got thrown in there, and they did to Crawford what I thought they should have done, is they suspended him for a while.
Yeah, well, they investigated the stories.
Yeah, right. Have you ever been involved, Russ, as a player? Bring us fans into the real side of a firing of a coach. Does the GM ever go to a bunch of the players or the leaders on a team when they're trying to decide about the coach, and would the players have some sort of say in it ever?
In my experience, no. The player that they know whether the team's turned their hearing aids down to zero and stop listening to the coach. They can tell. You watch a practice and see guys who just, coaches yelling and players aren't. Coaches yelling and screaming at guys to pick it up, and everyone's like, yeah, right. They're not. They just stop listening.
Yeah.
And the threats just, nobody believes in the threats so.
Yeah.
But, I think GMs have talked to players and said, look, you guys got to, we're not firing the coach. You guys have to figure it out inside this locker room and all together get out there and start playing better, because I'm not firing the coach. I got to tell this Mark Crawford story, though. My brother told me, we were talking about him when he was under suspension, and Crow's his nickname. And he was always that coach that just chirped from the bench, yell at the other team, just could, like, Doug Bodger said, I couldn't believe it, the crap that came out of his mouth. He was bad, just yap, 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 yap. And so Jeff separated Forsberg's shoulder or something like that in Colorado. Right. And my brother was a nifty, dirty player and could score.
Right.
So Crawford's screaming at him like, we're going to kill you. Saying all this shit, screaming. Jeff goes over his bench and goes, you were the biggest pussy I ever played against. If you want to fight me, I'll meet you out at the fucking bus after the game and I'll fucking kick the shit out of you. And he said the entire bench started laughing at the coach. That guy was howling so much. And then I'll tell you one other story about Crawford. When he coached the Canucks, he got up and he was and he'd been just hired by the Vancouver Canucks, and Brian Burke had taken over the fishing derby that Jeff and I had started for Canuck Place that we talked about earlier. Yeah, yeah, you've been to it when Mark ran it, and then after Mark stopped, Berkey took it over. So he goes, you know, I believe he's introducing Crawford as the new coach. You know, he's already hired him, but the season hasn't started. It's before it's the end of the summer. All the players are there, and Jeff and I are there, and he introduced Crawford and tells the world how great a coach he is. He's won a Stanley Cup, and
right,
and they've hired him, blah blah blah, and he's my brother and I, and Jeff was drinking back then, so we're at the back of the room, and and Crawford gets up and he starts bragging about himself, and he's bragging about what he's going to do with the Canucks and how he's going to improve all these young players. We got a good base, but I'm me. And Jeff goes, and he kept referring back to how he did it in Colorado. And Jeff yells out, "Fuck, you had Sakic and Forsberg, and you had Patrick Waugh in net. Are you kidding me?" He's like, "You opened the frickin' door." He goes, "Peter Pan could have coached that team and won."
I love that.
Oh my God, it was funny.
I love that.
Yeah. Those are my two Mark Crawford stories. But he was a screamer from the bench. Like, you know, he was one of those coaches that just couldn't help himself. And he probably was that way as a player. He's probably chirpy as a player, but. He since said, I read somewhere that he's been in therapy since 2010, trying to fix whatever problem he has. I don't know what the issue. Yeah, came out and said that he's been in therapy, and so trying to fix whatever. I don't know what he was accused of doing, but anyways, he's back coaching.
Well, you talk about Jeff being hilarious, but you listen, pal. As soon as you tell that story, I think of the. Run-in you had with Burns. It's on one of our previous shows. I think if you look at the show notes, you'll probably be able to figure it out. But that's a great teaser for everyone to listen to all our shows, Russ. That you got into it pretty good with your coach, Pat Burns, right?
And then I had John Brophy. Oh my God, John Brophy was a freaking mental case. He used to scream at us, and he'd have practices. You'd think the practice was over. And then he'd start a whole other practice again. And it's like, are you kidding me? So Boreas Omming was injured this one time in Toronto, and he whistled practice. So we're doing shooting around, doing that. So I'm like, you know what? I've had a nice practice. I'm going to go in and have a hot tub.
All right.
So I take my gear off. I'm in the hot tub talking to Borea.
Yeah.
And, I guess after I got off the ice, John decides to have power play practice, and I'm on the power play. So I'm talking to him, and then you hear, "Where is he?"
You're in the hot tub?
Yeah, I'm in the hot tub. And he's like, you hear, "Where is he? Where is that little fucker?" And I'm like, "Is that the coach?" And Boreas looks at me, starts nodding. And then he walks through on the tile, the bathroom tile, in his skates, click, 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 all the way to the hot tub. And I went underwater. I'm holding my breath for like 5 seconds, you know, and I pop up. And there he is. "We're having a goddamn power play practice out there, and you're in here freaking having an executive, you know, with this freaking guy who can't even play because he's injured." He starts yelling at Borea. Borea's like, "I'm injured." Ah! And then he turned around and walked away. Oh, God. But John Brophy. You know he was in the movie Slapshot, right?
I never... was he really?
One of the hockey players.
Great Christmas gift. Let's watch Slapshot again. There was a story I was looking at today when you talk about getting into it with coaches. And,
number two.
Mary Whiteclaw.
I don't know who's keeping track, but this is number two.
I'll tell you what, you should get $1 million from those guys. Everyone keeps asking me, where can I get the White Claws in Canada? I don't know if they're...
Oh, they're coming. I'm just reading the side of the can here, and it actually says it's beer.
Yeah.
Product of Canada.
Don't read, Russ. You don't care. It's wet, and it works.
It's gold. It's gluten-free.
There, wow.
2 grams of carbs, 100 calories, and 5% alcohol, and I'm drinking black cherry.
Yeah, very good. We're halfway through the show. We're going to mention Elite Promotional Marketing.
See if you get it right.
Yeah. They're starting a web store for us in January.
Thank God you're not drinking, because it'd be a leisure or something like that by the time you're done.
People would end up in the wrong place. Elite Promo.
Here he goes.
Would you stop? Give me a break here. ElitePromoMarketing.com. Check them out for all the swag you want. They're going to start, like I said, this store for us. And you're going to be able to order. We got merch coming out, Rusty. So watch for that in January. You talked about getting into it with coaches, Russ. Every week there's some player who's ripping a reporter, right? It's almost like I can't watch. And I think it was Westbrook this week in the NBA who took down a reporter. And I said, I got to ask Rusty, have you ever gotten into it with a reporter, Russ?
Oh, yeah. Like,
you have?
Yeah.
Do tell.
I got a reporter in Vancouver said that a player said I wasn't good with the young guys or something like that. One of our players, I can't remember the word he used. Mm-hmm. And I was so offended, because the one thing I did do, it was Ian McIntyre, tall guy. He's on TV now for the Canucks game, Sportsnet. Mm-hmm. And Ian wrote this article, and they were, the team was probably getting ready to trade me. And, they started floating out stories. Right. And he wrote this article that I wasn't good for the young players or something. And I looked after the young guys. I fed them. I freaking got them set up in apartments. I helped them along. I was one of those veterans that wanted to look after the young guys. And I took offense to it. And I went up to him, and I got so freaking mad. I got really emotional, because my sister called me crying, saying, they're saying all these horrible things about you. And she has some medical issues. And I just was like, are you kidding me? Now my sister's upset. And he said some untrue things, and he wouldn't tell me who said it. And I was like, oh, it's stupid. And so I got really, really mad at him, had a bit of a screaming match, and probably scared him a little bit. But anyways, that was not good. And it was just something he wrote, and it upset my sister, and so it upset me, and I just had enough.
Right. I've heard some great stories to get back at reporters. You got to sort of toe this line a little bit. And Terry Jones, who you probably know from your days playing sports, was a sports writer for the Sun Chain, living here in Edmonton, and he had said some shit about the team, about the Oilers. And what they did is he came into the dressing room, and one thing that players do, Russ, I think, is they just one word answer a guy if they're pissed with the guy, okay? If they grant an interview, and they'll just give him a totally shitty interview, and the guy's dead in the water, right? He can't can't get a quote from anyone.
Yeah.
What they did to Terry, I forget what the issue was, but they brought him in, and a couple of players said, "Hey Terry, can we have a word with you? About this article that you wrote yesterday. Come on over here, right?" And they brought him into the training room, and threw him into the hot tub. Right? No words spoken, no nothing. Just took him, picked him up, and threw him into the hot tub. I said, there you go. That's a good way to do it.
The Montreal Canadiens, Red Fisher told me in Montreal, they stripped him naked, initiated him, taped him up, and put him on his front doorstep in the middle of the winter and rang the doorbell. His wife answered. But there was a guy in Toronto. Mm-hmm. That used to write these horrible stories. But, I mean, we were the Bad News Bears. We weren't good. Now, Harold Ballard, they didn't like Harold. And then Harold stopped letting them come on our flight. So they had to fly commercial to all these cities. And so we got to St. Louis. We're staying at the Omni. It's the old train station in St. Louis. And they've made this beautiful hotel in the train station. And so when we check in, they would put all the keys on the front, and there'd be seven or eight media guys. And Gord Stellick, was our guy that would travel around with us. And
sure.
So he said, oh, I'm sorry, the media, they're all coming in individually. So they would scoop up the keys and put them behind the desk and wait for them to come and check in. Mm-hmm. So we grabbed this guy's key from the sun. We went to his room, and we knew that they weren't coming in for a few hours. And we started ordering room service, like shrimp cocktails and wine and anything we could think of. And then we were fucking ate and drank for like 2 hours and then signed a big tip and his name on the tab. And so when he checked out, we were sitting there, and he's like yelling at the person behind the desk, I didn't order all this stuff. This is a mistake. And they're like, well, no, it was delivered to your room. And he goes, that's not my signature.
Who's the guy, friend of yours, a battler? They just did a documentary on, played for Pittsburgh. He had a big Boston guy. Like, he's from Boston.
Does he do the color? Not color for them, but he works...
No.
Kevin Stevens?
Kevin Stevens, yeah. Right? Kevin Stevens, who is a hilarious guy and has, struggled with addiction and stuff over his life. And they did a story on him. It was great. But when you talk about going into a guy's room and ordering room service, he was hilarious. And this is right at the time when, Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee, I think there was a video released of them naked on a boat. And apparently it became there was a movie that you could order up in your room, you know. And all the guys are talking about, let's get to the hotel. We got to check out this flick, you know, and this porno. Mm-hmm. And Steven says, there were free previews. You know, you could check these things. You know, you could. There was like these 3-minute previews of movies. Mm-hmm. And Stevens checks into his room, goes running up to his room, and then comes back down to the front desk and says to the girl, he goes, listen, yeah, I'm Kevin Stevens, right? I'm in room 313. Listen, I got a favor. Can you just extend the free preview from 3 minutes to about 3 minutes and 30 seconds or so?
that would be like Mark Bergevin, who is the GM of Montreal and one of my brother's best friends from hockey. And Bergie was always on making jokes and trying to make people laugh. And Jeff said every morning they go for coffee in the hotel before pregame skate, and they'd have breakfast. And he goes, no, sir, what would you like? He goes, I just want the coffee. He goes, how much is your coffee? And the girl's like, $3. How much is a refill? And she goes, oh, it's free. He goes, okay, I'll have the refill.
Give me 4 orders of the refill.
Just keep giving me refills. I don't want the coffee that's $3. I would like just the refill. No, you have to get the... No, I just want the refill. Then she would sit there and the same kind of sense of humor. No, just I want the free.
Yeah. You think of those gags.
So much fun on the road.
Oh,
I like bet. Stuff like that. That's the part that players miss, is the camaraderie and the fun and the, you know, giving guys leaners and
what's a leaner?
A leaner is you fill up your waste paper basket in your room with water and you lean it on your buddy's door and knock on the door.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. Oh no. It's a beautiful thing.
The envelope full of shaving cream, that one. I've heard some great ones. There was a friend of mine who a buddy bought a new car, you know, and he kept bragging about how great the gas mileage was, you know, and he said, you got to take it for a spin, you know, it's a great car and blah, blah, blah. And he was a neighbor of the guy, right? And he took his car out. They were so sick of this guy talking about his stupid car all the time that you got to get one of these. And what they did was every time he'd take his car every sort of 4 or 5 days, you know, he said, let me drive. I'm thinking about getting, and every time he took it, he would fill it up with gas. Right.
Yeah.
And then this guy, like 2 months later, he's going, listen, I'm on the same tank of gas. This thing's, I've been driving all over the place. Oh yeah. Yeah. All sorts of shit. I remember, we got to figure out because it's Christmas, Russ.
Yeah.
What your best gift was as a kid. I was talking about the other day with Stevie on the Steve Warren Project podcast, yeah. And what our best gift were. And my brother and I remember I have a sister who's 15 years younger than us, and so we loved Christmas because she still believed in Santa Claus. And my brother and I are up the night before, as you know, we got to do the milk and cookies, you know. Or as my place would, you know, my dad said, no, we're going to leave a little scotch.
Yeah. Okay. For your dad didn't like drinking milk.
Yeah. Someone had to drink this freaking warm milk. You know? Yeah. She went to bed. And my brother and I said, you know what we're going to do? Let's get our construction boots. Remember, that was sort of the trend? You wore construction boots? Went to high school.
Was a fashion deal.
Yeah, it was a fashion deal. Let's get those on. And we stepped in. There was a fire, you know, that wood-burning fireplaces back then. And we put ashes on the bottom of the shoes, you know, and we put them on. So these would be like Santa Claus's footprints coming across the... Well, little did we were hammered. You know, it was like midnight when we did
Shocker.
This.
Shocker.
And my brother, both of us, stepped in there. And one of the lit ambers got on the bottom of our shoes. And then we're walking across the rug, and my mother wakes up in the morning, and my sister's there, and she's looking at us that we burnt a bunch of souls into the carpet.
Oh, no.
And I'm going, what, Santa Claus, Mom? Santa did this, yeah. You know? So, you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
This is our little Christmas show. Your best gift, do you remember the one that just knocked you out, Russ?
Bike. I got a bike when I was a kid at... And just, I couldn't believe it. We didn't grow up with a lot of money. So our parents spoiled us at Christmas and on birthdays. And after that, it was like, no, you know, no gifts on the side. You had to wait for your birthday or Christmas. But they spoiled us. You know, we had more than we could, more than we needed. And so they gave us as much as they could.
The hockey stuff, though.
So, and it was, yeah, I didn't get new skates until I was playing my first year junior in the WHL. I always got hand-me-downs.
Right. Yeah. So, I got the first pair of leather gloves I got, man, for hockey were off the map.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, loved it. Russ, before we got a few questions for you. I got a note here. There are a bunch of guys getting injured, Russ.
Yeah.
By the way, one cool story. There's a kid who's baseball player, Japanese kid who's coming back from injury because in 2018 he was the rookie of the year. It's like Shohei Ohtani.
Okay, is that the guy they call the Babe Ruth of the Japanese baseball league? Or
yeah,
something?
I think so. This guy. Not only is a pitcher, but he's a hitter.
Yeah, and he's great at both.
He played at both, and he's coming back this year. And I said, Russ, do you know any guys who are like super good? Other athletes that played hockey, guys that you know were stars.
Yeah, I do. Gary Lehman is probably the best athlete. Gary Lehman and Wayne Gretzky are the two greatest all-round athletes I've ever been around. Steve Nash would be second to those guys. Mm-hmm. Gary Lehman played soccer at Notre Dame in Saskatchewan before the hockey season. So back then we had football and soccer season and cross country, and then they started hockey after football. Mm-hmm. Gary was out playing next to the football team, and he was kicking the shit out of the soccer ball. And the coach calls him over and go, hey, can you kick this through the field goal? And he kicked a 50-yarder, like first time he ever booted a freaking football. He won MVP of the soccer league that year in Saskatchewan.
Right.
He won rookie of the year for football that year and MVP.
Okay.
And then went to the Air Canada Cup, and I think he was first team all-star as a defenseman. He goes on to play and gets drafted as a defense. He played defense his entire life, right? Mm-hmm. Gets drafted in the second round Toronto Maple Leafs as a defenseman, but he was kind of small. And in his second, third year, they put him on my right wing. And then he went on to score 50 goals in the NHL playing right wing. I mean, the guy is a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete. And he meets this girl during, he meets this girl in Toronto. And Aaronworth, Brian Aaronworth's sister. And he dates her. And they are a big golfing family. So that summer, I swear to you, he picks up golf and he's a freaking scratch by the end of the summer. In 4 months, he's a scratch golfer. This guy, and so you know how all the hockey players now juggle the puck on their stick?
Yeah.
He was the first guy that I ever saw that. He was the guy that flipped the puck like a pancake up in the air and catch it. And he could do things with the puck that I've never seen anyone do, and now every player does it.
Right.
But Gary Lehman. And then, you know, we can go on about Gretz and what he mm-hmm. did in baseball and basketball and tennis and all that. And so the mm-hmm. two of them are phenomenal. And then Steve Nash was a great little hockey player. And I took him golfing at Sherwood and we kicked some ass. Him and I were partners and we beat Buckberger and another guy. And he shot 82 and 83 back-to-back days. And I'm like, how many golf rounds you get in a year? And he goes, well, just these two.
Yeah, it bugs you.
Yeah.
It bugs you, you know. Mario, of course, Mario Lemieux is a great golfer. You know,
yes.
Great golfer.
Yes, yes.
And so's the Quinn, the other guy who played with Pittsburgh.
Dan Quinn, yeah.
Yeah, Dan Quinn.
Very good.
Who was a caddy on the tour for a while.
A
while. I call it the Bo Jackson topic, you know. The guys who, I never knew that about Lehman, and hilarious guy.
Oh, by yeah. the way.
Hilarious
guy. Yeah, yeah. Can he tell a story?
You talked about John Brophy. I did a podcast as a hobby a while back and interviewed Gary Lehman, and he can do John Brophy's voice. It's like Mickey Mouse, apparently.
Paul Coffey loves just hearing John Brophy stories.
Right.
And I can tell a few, but nobody can tell him like Gary. Oh my God. And he remembers so many things that we've all forgotten. Anyways, he can do Brophy's voice. And it's just, Paul Coffey will call up screaming Lehman and just say, come on, tell me a couple Brophy stories. And I think he just wants to hear him do it in his voice.
Yeah. Anyway, if you ever see him at a charity event or something, you got to spend some
time. Yeah, you got to ask him to tell John Brophy story.
Let's ask some questions, Russ. Too many injuries, Russ, in hockey. Bunch of guys getting injured in sports all the time now. Big gunners, superstars. I see in Toronto now with the Raptors, for example, Pascal Siakam and Marc Gasol and Norman Powell. These guys were gunners for that team. Are all out with injuries. And someone's asking, what can leagues and sports do anything about that? Should they take a week off?
No, it's just part of the athletic body is so amazing now because they're all so strong and they probably have too much muscle mass on their frames. And I know when our oldest daughter had some knee issues, but just some muscular issues, and we'd go see this guy, and he said, you know what? Women were not meant to have these muscles on their legs like they have. And so that's why these ladies soccer players get these terrible knee injuries and tear up tendons and muscles because it just wasn't meant to be. And I'm just wondering with these men, is it the same? That they're so muscular and they're so strong and they're so tight that there's no flex and their bodies are doing something they weren't built for. They're just, mm-hmm. and so taking time off isn't going to solve anything. It's just that you walk into a locker room now and everybody's shredded. I mean, when we played, we had freaking beer guts left and right. Mm-hmm. And now every player that plays at the highest level is just ripped. I mean, big guys are ripped. And Paris is doing this house right now for the Whitworths. He's number 77 on the Rams. He's 6'7", 330. And he is a normal. Yeah, normal. Like, he doesn't have that big, huge gut or anything. I mean, he wears jeans. He tucks his T-shirt in. I mean, he looks like a normal human, you know, normal mm-hmm. fit human being, but he's 6'7". It's just crazy. The guy's like, it's amazing. Like, you watch a football game and you can see guys out there that are carrying around 80 pounds that they shouldn't have. And then right. there's a guy like Andrew who just looks like a normal, big, strong guy. Mm-hmm. So some mm-hmm. bodies, I think, are made for it, and then there are others that aren't. So yeah, I think we're going to have injuries just because the modern-day athlete's always going to be super fit.
Right. And here's the reality, folks. Okay. Obviously, if sports leagues played less games, there'd be less injury, but the owners ain't going for that.
Yeah. Right?
In fact, they're talking about increasing games. NFL's trialed it to get to 18 games. And one of the arguments for it is, or against it, is if you put more games on with teams tanking, you know, when they're out of it, you know, there's been baseball teams that are out of it by the freaking July, and everyone wants the draft picks. You see, if you put more games in there, you're going to get more bad games.
Yeah.
You know? So, anyway, the reality is the owners want, they'd have you playing year round, wouldn't they, Russ, if they could, for the ticket revenue, you know?
Yeah. Like, everybody needs a break, but they're definitely going to maximize as many games as they can.
Right.
You know? Or why do you think Arizona made that trade? They want to make the playoffs. I mean, they gave up a lot for right. a guy they don't know if they're going to sign. So mm-hmm. they're trying to maximize their year and their ability to sell tickets and make the playoffs.
Merry Christmas, Jim. I have a question that I don't know if maybe it was asked of Russ before. How did Russ, I think we did, but worth repeating. How did Russ adjust to everyday life after hockey? Did he have a life coach other than the latest one, White Claw? And how did he find his career that he does today? Was it something that he did that he figured out while playing hockey when he made this transition after hockey?
Well, I was living in L.A., and it was pretty simple. Because I think I've talked about this before, the transition for hockey players. When you stay in a hockey city, they, you know, like where Calgary, where they watch every second, you know, clip of every Flames and
right,
and they know exactly that where everybody lives in the city and all that good stuff. But those cities are hard to retire, and LA is a big city. Mm-hmm. We do have a hockey team, but there's a lot of people who don't give a shit about the Kings, nor do they follow the team. And mm-hmm. so I lived out in Hidden Hills in Calabasas, and I used to go to coffee, and I started sitting with this guy from Toronto, and then it kind of grew to like 8 or 10 guys, and there's Howie Mandel and a couple other guys. And this, after about 6 months, this guy goes, "So, Russ, young guy, you're dressed like you're going nowhere." And we're all like going here, like, I got to go to the office. I got to do this. I got to do, you know, everybody seems to be saying they're going to work, and you never have mentioned work. And I said, I just retired from the NHL. I played 16 years in the National Hockey League. So, okay, great. See you tomorrow.
Any other good Canadian is snapping pictures.
Oh my god! Well, the big cities of hockey, like when I say big city, the hockey where it's just like religion, they're like, you could still be playing. You know, if the team was in a downturn, they'd be like, they could use you. You should be playing. And you're trying to go through this process of, I can't play hockey anymore, or they don't want me anymore, or I don't want to play anymore. You're going through whatever you're going through. It doesn't matter what player you are or were. And mm-hmm. and so you go through this process, and it's tough in those cities. Where LA, it was, the weather was great. My buddies at the golf course would be like, let's go play golf, let's do this, let's do that. And my passion was always real estate. So I played hockey and I loved real estate. So that was, you know, I started focusing more on that and building houses and working in that field and stuff. So I did retire I retired at 34, or I was retired. Mm-hmm. And I didn't start working until I was 50. And then this started, and this was fun once a week. Right. But I never, ever imagined I'd be doing this, what we're doing.
Right.
And really enjoying it. But my real passion is real estate. I really like it. And Harold, I've said this before, Harold Ballard's daughter got me into it.
Right.
When I was 19.
Did you miss the attention, Russ, when you left hockey?
I enjoyed performing, meaning playing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed all that offered. And then I had a great mentor in Boreas Salming who said, watch out if you get caught up in that. You know, I got to go to this place because that's where that, you know, you're supposed to go, or, you know, to, so the fans could see, hang out with the hockey players. He always told me, just be really careful that you don't get caught up in that, because those guys, he said, the higher you climb, the farther you're going to fall. And he goes, just be a good person, enjoy the game and everything it has to offer, but you shouldn't be living for that. Mm-hmm. And so when I played Montreal, and I rarely ever hung out where all the hockey fans hung out, I'd go into the French speaking bars and restaurants and you know, and when I played in LA, I hung out, I'd go to the Polo Lounge on my way home and hang out there, order room service because the restaurant was closed.
The famous Beverly Hills Hotel,
yeah,
right?
Is the Polo. Yeah. And the bartender, I can't remember his name, he was a big hockey fan. So he and I would sit there and talk about the game and hockey. He's a big Boston Bruins fan. And then I'd go home, and I just, you know, I enjoyed it. I'd be lying if I said I didn't, but I didn't get caught up in where I live for it. And the guys who live for the attention and the notoriety have a real hard time after hockey.
Yeah.
When they now have lost the meaning of who they are because they tied their entire self to being a celebrity, being a hockey player, mm-hmm. and then you're not, it's really a difficult transition. And I just... You know, I've met amazing people. I have great friends. I've had a great life, and everything I have in my life, I owe to hockey. And I don't wake up in the morning and go, you know, I hope that somebody recognizes me today, and I hope that I get to sign an autograph. And I hope, you know, there's people that live their lives like that. Like, they go places so that they're seen, and it's sad.
Right. Your wife, Paris, Russ, how did... I mean, it's got to be tough on wives when a hockey player is locked in to the NHL with practices, travel, games, the attention. How did you work that out with your wife, knowing what lies ahead? That you, to be honest, probably you had to say, look, at this thing's all consuming, you know?
And my wife was, it was so amazing because Paris, her mom was one of the most famous singers of all time.
Look at me.
She met the Pope. She met the presidents of the United States and other countries, and was wined and dined. The Rat Pack were at her house as a kid. Freaking hockey players? Are you kidding me? It was like a sideshow. It was a joke to her. Like, you know, I don't want to say a joke, but it was like, I've met the most famous people in the world. You guys are athletes, and it's great, and you're really nice guys and everything, but it... After the life that she had, I mean, it was a piece of cake for her because she wasn't around the most famous people in the world. She was around the most famous hockey players in the world, but not like, you know, Frank Sinatra and
Jesus.
Elvis Presley. And I mean, our house is, I mean, she's given away a lot of her mom's stuff, but when we lived in Hitton Hills, it was a freaking shrine.
Right. Sarah Vaughan, by the way, is
oh my God. The three greatest female vocalists of all time are Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, and Sarah Vaughan.
Yeah.
Not in that order.
Right. Right. Yeah. Interesting, Rusty. Good show. We got we're at the 1 hour mark, and thanks everyone for listening, and for your questions and input, and a bunch of laughs again, Russ, that we had on the show. My Christmas gift, Russ, I don't know what you want. You can think what you want for Christmas, but last year I got a sweater for Christmas, and I was hoping for a yeller or a screamer.
Okay. You can't. Come on, Jimmy.
So, you know, my son Lawton's home. I was a little distracted on that.
Sure, that's, yeah, you were a couple today. Times. That's okay. Yeah.
So my son's home with his girlfriend from school, and he's texting. He calls, and I'm like, I'm on the podcast. I can't talk right now. And what is it? Our friend and neighbors lent them his Ferrari to go to drive around, you know.
Of course they did.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I'm like, he's going, I've been to two gas stations. I can't figure out how to put gas in this car.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, God. Oh, too funny. I'm like, call the dealership. I don't know. Fuck, I'm on a show.
That's a YouTube it. Get on there, yeah. Kids of L.A., who need to figure out how to open up the gas tank on a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite bumper stickers, driving through L.A., because I loved going up there. I'd been to that Polo Lounge when I sat down with a buddy of mine. We had breakfast there in the morning. That was the most rude awakening ever about how much it costs to live in L.A.
Oh, yeah. Was it Brian Turner you had breakfast?
No. It was Mayhew, as a matter of fact. The guy was our research guy and former boss of mine. And we both had poached eggs and bacon. And he said, I'll get it. You know, I'll pick it up. It was $110 for, the coffee's pressed coffee, you know.
Yeah,
30
yeah.
bucks a jug. Speaking of, get one of my favorite before we go.
I thought we already left. That's why I told the story live. I was just talking to you about Lawton.
No, that's funny. No.
Oh, shit.
That's where you get the best stuff. Steve Smith was on his way home from a road trip. They were on the road coming home for Christmas.
After he scored on his own net?
Oh, now come on. I'm an older guy.
You know. That Steve Smith?
It's going to wreck my Christmas. Wreck my Christmas. Oh. How about poor Stevie? That's when he went to Calgary. And he played for Calgary, and they told him to shoot when they were when he's trying to clear a puck. He was going to the bus. They were on their way home after a road trip, and had to think of something to get for Christmas. And he walks down to the lobby, and there's a guy sitting there, obviously waiting for somebody. He's got this box on his knees, you know, sitting there. And Smitty says, "What's up?" You know, and he sits down beside him, and the guy says, I'm just waiting for Bookaboom. I got him this last time he was through town. I told him I have a good line on VCRs. That's how long this is, right? And Bookaboom was injured and got sent home. And he said, I got him a nudge, nudge, wink, wink, you know? They're probably stolen, right? And he says, so it's like $80, you know, instead of $250. And Smitty tells the story. He goes, so I thought, well, do you have two of them? Right? And the guy said, I do, as a matter of fact, you know, and he ran out of the car and he came back in, he got another one, and Smitty peels off 160 and goes, this is fantastic. I get great gifts from my wife and kids. Yeah. And he gets on the bus and the guy's there and Smitty's waving to him as the bus pulls away. And he's going, fellas, how about this? And he says, I'm going to sell one of these to you. In fact, I'll sell it to you the same price. I only need one, but I got two because I knew someone would like it. And they open it up. And it's a box of rocks.
Yeah, brick or something. Yeah,
brick or sand or something got ripped off. Merry Christmas. Don't be greedy.
Yeah.
Listen, Rusty, you have a Merry Christmas to all our fans and everybody. Hope you have a good week, and we'll be back next week with another show. We want to thank all of you for listening. And we want to thank you, Russ. You're doing a hell of a job. I got unbelievable people loving this about you taking us inside the NHL. And we're going to thank our sponsor. Elite Promotional Marketing, Drew Shamor and his son Gord. They're going to start a web store for us in January where all our swag will be available. And if you want something for Christmas, go online, elitepromomarketing.com, and you can pick up some really cool stuff. It's a great store. So, Merry Christmas, Rusty. You have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week on The Suspendables.
See you, pal.